Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is a Grammy Award winner and a music legend. To say that Lyle Lovett is a country musician is selling him short. The musician and bandleader has excelled in defying categories, playing soulful country, blues, jazz, gospel, you name it. Then you add actor to the resume as well, longtime regular in Robert Altman films. Lovett has produced so many albums in his career and so much great music, evidenced by his greatest hits collection that he put out earlier this year. He and his large band will be performing Saturday night at Chicago Theater right here in town. Tickets still available for that show. Lyle Lovett joins me now on the Download. Mr. Lovett, it's a pleasure to have you here on 720. We appreciate it.
Yes, and thanks. Well, thanks for that brilliant intro, and I really appreciate you helping us get the word out about our show.
You've come through Chicago many a times. Talk about Chicago and you know, coming here and playing this town. What does Chicago mean to Lyle Lovett?
You know, Chicago's always been so great to me. The audience there is always, you know, I mean, people keep showing up at our shows, and it's just a wonderful feeling. I mean, you know, Chicago is just one of the greatest big cities in the world, in my opinion. And I just always, we get to play Chicago, gosh, nearly every year. And so I just always look forward to coming back.
You know, you've had a lot of support here from radio stations, other places too, but it's interesting because this town is not one you automatically think about, you know, when you think about Texas folk music, but it does have a long-standing tradition with folk music and jazz and blues, of course.
Well, it does. It does. I mean, it's that whole connection, I think, from the South, when the Delta blues players moved up north to Chicago. I mean, I think there is a real appreciation in Chicago for roots-based music, and that's certainly what my music is. And so, the audience just couldn't be nicer. And people are, you know, good people are good people, you know, they certainly treat us, the band and me, so well when we come to Chicago. I mean, it's a big city, but it still has small-town sensibilities, you know, so that's something that I certainly relate to when I come to Chicago, and I'm guessing that's part of what the audience sees in the band and me as well.
As you mentioned, roots music, and I said you kind of defy categories. It is interesting because roots music has taken off in the way that there's now several subgenres to roots, whether it be Americana or alt country and all these other kinds of sounds. But where do you do? I mean, when I mean, you defy categories. When I think of your music, and I've played the heck out of a lot of your records, I almost feel like it's Southern gospel. You know, that it's not necessarily a country music or a folk music, that it has its roots in the church. When you talk about the music, I mean, you say it's roots-based music?
I say that, but it's, yeah, and it really is. I just write songs in styles of music that I like, really. And I try to suit the style of music. You know, I try to support the lyrical idea with a musical style that is appropriate for it. And, you know, growing up in Texas, going to clubs in Texas, people were trying to just play good songs. They weren't terribly concerned about, you know, concerned about what sort of category a song would fit into. But when I would go to places like Anderson Fair in Houston and hear Eric Taylor and Nancy Griffith and John D'Amato and Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt and Vince Bell, they were trying to play a good song. They were trying to write a good song, the style was of less importance. You know, playing music and playing in different styles is fun as well. But really, I just try to think of a musical form that will support, you know, the words that I'm trying to convey.
Yeah, I Googled and came across an article that was written about you in 1986 when you put out your first album, and this was really about how you had come to Nashville 2 years before to be a songwriter. Talk about that. Talk about the idea of really you are a songwriter at heart. How did that experience of being a songwriter first help you in being able to transition into the musician that you are today?
Well, I always loved playing, and I just always felt like I wasn't a good enough singer or a good enough musician to be able to do other people's songs and have people be interested in me. I thought if I had something to offer people, you know, if there was a reason for people to come see me, it needed to be my point of view more than anything else. And so that's why I started making up my own songs. I didn't think it was a realistic ambition to ask for a record deal when I went to Nashville. I got to a point in my life, I was 25, 26 years old, and I thought to myself, I need to learn about the business. I need to figure out how this works, or I need to get a real job. of some sort. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go to Nashville and see, because that was a place where Nashville was a place receptive to songs and songwriters. And, you know, the great publishing houses were still thriving in Nashville. And so I went with the idea of, well, maybe I can get somebody interested in doing my songs. And that was my approach. I was not disappointed, but sort of surprised and almost, well, maybe a little disappointed when I play my demo tape for a publisher and they say, yeah, the song's okay, but who's singing? Or who's the band and who's singing? And so, you know, it was really beyond my wildest dreams that I ended up getting a record deal, you know, as well as a publishing deal. And so being able to be a singer-songwriter with a Nashville-based record label was sort of outside the box. You know, Nashville is a factory town in a way. You know, there are publishing companies with staff writers who write songs that the big country stars record. So being a singer-songwriter based in Nashville was something unique to that sort of mid-80s period when singer-songwriters like Steve Earle and Nancy Griffith and Dwight Yoakam and Katie Lang were making their first records as well.
Yeah. Lyle Lovett, my guest, he's going to be at the Chicago Theater tomorrow night here in Chicago. One of the things, you tour with a large band, so you are, it's Lyle Lovett and the large band, you are the band leader. Talk about that. Talk about the idea of being a singer-songwriter, and we've covered that territory, but being on stage with a band like this and like you said, trying to find the right sound for the lyrics that you've written. Talk about the art of being a good band leader.
Oh, gosh. You know, the key to being a good band leader is being the worst musician in the band. I work with such talented players that they can just do anything that I think of. Gosh, and our large band has really turned into a family at this point. I've worked with the musicians in the band for so long. Matt Rawlings, who plays piano, and Ray Herndon, who plays guitar, I met in 1983 when they were both in the house band at a great country nightclub in Phoenix called Mr. Lucky's. James Gilmer's and I have played together since 1978. John Hagen's played with us since 1979. Harvey Thompson of the Muscle Shoals Horns has been in every horn section I've ever played with starting in 1988. Getting together once or twice a year with these musicians in the large band is such a thrill for me. And to just be able to stand in the middle of them and listen to them is, you know, it's an extraordinary experience for me every night. The thing that I try to do as a band leader, my main objective is to let to have the audience have the feeling of having gotten to know everybody in the band by the end of the show. I just try to put a show together that showcases everybody in the band and gives the audience a chance to get to know them all as characters, because they are characters. Let me tell you, Matt Rawlings introduced me to Francine Reed in 1984, and I've toured with Francine as often as I could ever since then. And she's out with us again this summer.
That's great.
And she's certainly a highlight of the show, and people love to hear Francine. And Francine was born in Cook County Hospital.
Oh, there you go.
She was originally from Chicago.
We like to hear
that. She and her family moved down to Phoenix. Yeah.
The last question I'll ask is just about how important your instruments are, because, you know, you have been known with your acoustic guitars, and Bill Collins just passed from Austin, Texas, where you played a lot of his guitars. We've talked about songwriting. We talked about being a band leader, but Mr. Collins made great guitars, and you were a big proponent of his work, and you used his stuff. How important is the instrument that you use on stage?
Oh, gosh. You know, different guitars, you know, I believe that different guitars have different songs in them. You know, different guitars sort of hit you in a way that inspires thought. And, you know, you can pick up a new guitar or pick up a guitar you hadn't played in a while, and it takes you in a direction. Bill Collins was, I've known Bill Collins since 1978. I met him on the recommendation of a singer-songwriter in Houston named Rick Gordon, who played an early Collins guitar. And I was looking for somebody to do a fret job on my Martin D35. And I called Bill Collins and I said, hey, I've got this Martin. Would you take a look at it? He said, sure, come on over. And he lived in a little two-bedroom apartment in Houston. And he lived in one bedroom, and the other bedroom was his shop full of saws and wood and files and chisels and guitar parts. And I remember showing up at his house at 2 p.m. and I left about 10 that night. He showed me every piece of wood he had. He showed me what he was working on.
Wow.
He was so enthusiastic about what he was doing and so committed to it. He was fascinating to spend time with. We got to be friends then. He did that fret job on my D-35, and a couple of visits later, I ordered my first Collins Dreadnought, which he finished for me in 1979, and it was the 29th guitar he ever built. And that's a guitar that I played on all my early recordings and used to tour with, and I still have and value. Bill and I, gosh, we did lots of fun things together outside of music as well. He and I were off-road motorcycle riding buddies. We'd go down to Baja in Mexico together and ride. And I've been on the road this, since he's passed, and it still doesn't seem real that he's gone. There's going to be a memorial service for him Monday in Austin, and that falls right on a day off for us, so I'm going to be able to go down for that. But just a wonderful person and an amazing craftsman, and his guitars, I tell you, his guitars will speak for him for years to come.
Wow, that's great. Lyle Lovett, the tremendous music legend, also the multiple Grammy Award winner. He's going to be at the Chicago Theater tomorrow night right here in Chicago, downtown Chicago. Lyle, thanks so much for taking some time out and talking to us tonight on The Download. I really appreciate it.
Justin, thanks for having me on. And that Chicago Theater is just one of the greatest theaters in the world. I mean, it's for that big of a house, 4,000 seats or so, it really is an amazing sounding theater. I'm always excited to be there on that stage.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, send me up on my pony, on my boat. Now if I were Roy Rogers, I'd sure enough be single. I couldn't bring myself to marry an old dame. Would it just be me and Trevor? We'd go riding through them movies, then we'd buy a boat and on the sea we'd sail. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. Put all together, go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat. Well, now the mystery masked man was smart, he got himself a Tonto, cause Tonto did the dirty work for free. But Tonto, he was smarter, and one day said, Kemosabe, well, kiss my ass, I bought a boat, I'm going to sea. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my boat.